You know, there are times in our lives that I find extremely funny, and the latest is the one that's going around Facebook. If you want to see God laugh, tell God your plans. As if you've got it all under control, as if we've got it all under control, where in actuality it is God who's got it all under control. Now, for weeks now, we have been looking at the promises of God with the idea that these promises are going to help to feed you spiritually. Now, there's probably not too many people in here who will tell me that they only eat one time a day. Most of us, thank you, most of us probably have things like breakfast, lunch, dinner, and if you're a hobbit, well, you have to have second breakfast. But we're not hobbits, so we don't need second breakfast, but I'm sure we do enough with snacks. And we have to be fed more than once a day. Well, I don't think I've seen most folks here during the week to get a second feeding, so I'm assuming that you're feeding yourself at home. And I'm assuming that you're doing this feeding by claiming the promises that we have been talking about for weeks now. All these different promises that God makes to us. And while it seems as if God made them to certain individuals in the time of the scripture, this book is just as much ours today as it was to the Israelites and those that God spoke to back in the day, in which God was trying to even tell them, I have plans for you. You know, you think you have plans. Most of the prophets thought they had plans. And their plans didn't always coordinate with what God wanted them to do. Actually, most of them fought God and said, no. You've got to be kidding. I can't be doing this. And God did everything in God's power to cut off the arguments before God even called them into ministry. Jeremiah was another one of those who really didn't want to go into ministry. He did not want to have to deal with the things that God wanted to deal with because he knew he was in tough times. During much of Jeremiah's life, he worked with kings who wanted nothing to do with God. They wanted to take the people as far away from God as possible. They wanted to bring in the idols and the temples to the idols. And so they didn't want God. But God gives words to Jeremiah that are as powerful as to us today as it was at the time that he made it. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. There was a young man who committed suicide. And after he had passed away, they found his note. And this is what he wrote. I am worth $10 million as people judge things. But I am so poor in spirit that I cannot live any longer. Something is terribly wrong with life. What was missing in this individual is the I have plans for your welfare to give you a future with hope. This man was missing hope in his life. Now, we all can design our plans and think we've got it all put together. You know, if you can tell in the back of the picture here, we've even got some architectural drawings of a church. There's some plans on your building, on your bulletin. And we can all come up with great plans. But the real plan in our life is to hear Christ and God talk to us about the plans. For there's only one place where you will truly find everlasting hope. And that's here. In this Word of God is where you truly find the Word of hope. And there's only one person in this whole book where you truly find hope, and that's in Jesus the Christ. And there's only one source that gives us the promise of a future with hope, and that's God. This is a powerful verse for our lives. My former pastor in Venice, that was her life scripture. Just as I collect things Noah, she had this saying of Jeremiah 29:11 all over the place. She had it as a wall hanging. She had it as things on her desk. She had a pen with it written on the side of the pen. If it was Jeremiah 29:11 on something, a mug, a t-shirt, she had it. Because that was the belief that she had, that God knew exactly what God was doing in planning her life and giving her a hope for the future. Now, we need to look at this particular promise just a little closer, because it sounds real nice when we take it out of context all by itself. But we need to know what's going on here. You see, because through Jeremiah, the people have just been told that there was something that was going to happen before they get this promise. The people of Israel have been told by Jeremiah, by God through him, that they were going into captivity for 70 years. Jeremiah told the people, because of the way you're living, because you have not put God first in your life and in this nation, because the king keeps leading us to idols, we are going into captivity for 70 years. And that's what happened with the Babylonians. They came in and they took the people and they took them back to Babylonia, and they were there for 70 years before someone finally able to come back to Jerusalem. So here we have Jeremiah telling these people this horrible thing. Now, if you're in the audience and listening to him, and you're 25 years old, you know that you probably won't live to see the end of that exile. You know that you're going to die in exile. You might look at your children who are standing there with you and think, my child is going to spend their entire life in exile. My wife, who's pregnant, that child is going to spend their entire life in exile. 70 years is a lifetime. Because the people did not honor God. But yet Jeremiah continues in his conversation with them and the words that God has given him to say, and says, yes, you're going to go into exile for 70 years, but for surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for your harm, to give you a future with hope. In other words, God was saying to them, yes, you're going into exile for 70 years, but I have plans for you. I know you're coming back. I know you're going to be a great nation. I know the things that are going to happen in your future, because I have the plans for you. It is not plans for you to be harmed. It's plans for your welfare. It's plans that will give you a hope for the future. Going into exile for 70 years, there needs to be some hope there. We live in a world where it's so easy to take ourselves into exile, ignoring the word of God during the week. See, this isn't a one-a-day book. It's not one of those things you go to the library and you check it out and you just say, oh, I only need it for one day. This is a lifetime adventure of reading the word of God, of hearing the promises of God, of taking out your spoon and your fork and your knife and digging in like you're going for a meal, to take these words from this paper and into your heart and into your mind. So if you're ever in a situation where you can't get a hold of this book, the word is here. Think of how many popular songs that you have memorized. And I know people have. Okay, all you have to do is be around this office any time that Reverend Lawrence and Paul are in the same room. You throw out a topic, and the two of them will come up with a popular song that has to do with the topic, and they can start singing it word for word. word. So I know we can memorize popular songs. And if you can memorize popular songs, you can memorize the word of God. Exile for 70 years. What are your plans? What are your plans? You know, the board just signed my contract and renewed my contract. And it's been renewed for 7 years. You know what's going to happen at the end of that 7 years? I'm going to retire. I'll be 68 years old. I'm going to retire. Unless God comes along and says, Lori, I'm not ready for you to retire. I still have ministry work for you to do. See, I've got my plans, but I also know that my plans could be nothing if God has something more for me to do. And I need to stay open to realizing that that nice little diagram that I've got written down might not work. And I've got to be prepared because God might come along and say, Lori, we need to alter this one room a little bit that you've developed in the house. We need you to do something else before you retire. And I realize that as a pastor, you never really retire. Just as I'm told as a pastor, I really never have a day off because I'm always available. But I know that God's going to have the best in place for me. I know that God's got plans that are the best for each and every one of you that are in this place. God has plans for our future that contains a hope. And that future with the hope is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's the end of the plans. There should be somewhere on your, if you've got your life mapped out, I hope you got a little spot there that says the end, going to heaven. Going home. Going to be with the Lord. Going to go see my dad. Going to see my family that's gone before me. Because they're there waiting. And then you'll be there waiting for someone else to come along. The hope is part of the plans. To realize that we're going to live 70, 80, 90 years old. My mother-in-law is 94 years old. She's still going strong body-wise. Ask her anything that happened 20 years ago and she can give you book, chapter, and verse. Don't ask her what she ate for breakfast because she won't be able to tell you. But she can tell you everything about the past. But she can also tell you that she's got a place on her map that says, go in heaven. She knows where she's going at the end of her life. And her children know where she's going, and her grandchildren know where she's going because she's told them, and they've heard it from her. She knows exactly where she's going because she knows that she has plans from God that are a future with hope. She knows that in her heart. Each one of us, as you're feeding on this scripture, take it not only into your stomach, but into your mind and into your spirit and into your soul and into your heart. Because this promise is for every single one of us. It doesn't matter how many times we screw up in our lives. It doesn't matter how many times we seem to walk away from God. It doesn't matter how many times we never seem to have the right priority. God has for us a future with a hope. So no matter what your building plans might look for, God's got a place there, a future with a hope. And God promises us that this is possible for us to have this plan in our lives. So I call upon you, take a moment in your life. Think about how faithful God has been to you and how God's faithfulness can energize you. What a difference in our lives when we know that we have hope than the one who lives with hopelessness like the young man who took his life. You see, he couldn't see that there was a future with hope. He only could see that here and now, in that moment when he killed himself, that he was in desperation, that he felt hopeless. Maybe someone hadn't shared with him this promise from God. Share this promise with others that you encounter who seem to feel as if they're hopeless, because the hopelessness might be for a time. Being told that you're going to exile for 70 years might lead you to feel hopeless, but there is an end to it, and the end's the promise that God has for us. We have hope. You know, and we've talked before, life can be hard. It's not easy. And I could see why that young man was desperate. I can see why he felt hopeless. Because there are days in this world where it just seems so hard to keep going. It seems difficult to keep loving someone who gets sick. It seems to be hopeless when the ones that you're taking care of and you think, oh, God's going to save them, and they die. Seems hopeless. There are times in our lives that we push the covers over in the morning. We sit up, and maybe I'm just speaking to myself, and I'm thinking, I got another day to do. And then this verse will pop into my mind. And I praise God that this scripture is just embedded in my head. Because of those times where I'm feeling hopeless, and it happens to all of us, pastor or not, this verse comes to my mind, and I remember, no matter what, I have a future with the hope, and my hope is Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please rise as you are able as we join together in our singing our hymn of response.